Hallelujah. You people are too stale. They are really acting like stale eyes tonight. Eh? You know, stale eyes, I don't get excited about anything. Not testimonies, not God's word. You just, they say, God did this. Okay. And God did this. Okay. And God did this. Okay. Try harder, Mr. Sajere. Tell us another one. Amen. You have to stay excited about the things that God does. Can I have an amen? Let it excite you. Be excitable where God is concerned. You know, every testimony, everything that people share. And one good reason is because nobody can make it happen. You know, nobody can. That's why it says that the hearts of kings are in the hands of the Lord. That's why I like the song that says, no one can touch my heart like you do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we sing the first stanza of that song? You know that one. Immortal, invisible God, only wise, enlightened, accessible, most present, most glorious, the ancient of days. Victorious by great name, we can we try that again? Immortal, invisible, God only wise, enlightened, accessible, inaccessible, hid from most blessed, most glorious. Then Ancient of Days, Ancient, Almighty, Victorious, by great name we praise. Victorious, by great name we... Try it again. Say, most blessed. Most blessed, most glorious, the Ancient of Days, Almighty, Victorious, by great name we... Let's try that again. Most blessed. Most blessed, most glorious, the Ancient of Days, Almighty, Victorious, by great name. I think we're just breaking through. Try it again. Most blessed, most glorious, by Ancient of Days, Almighty, Victorious, by great name. Let's try thinking about every word. Most blessed, most blessed, most glorious, by Hallelujah. Father, we thank you tonight. Thank you for this privilege to gather in your name, to gather at your feet, to gather at your word, and to feed from you. Thank you because there's nobody that takes a look at your word and remains the same. We are transformed every single time that we're exposed to your word. Because every word of God is full of living power. Thank you, because we change tonight by the power of the word. We get better and better and better. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank God for all those who are also online. God bless you, whether now, whether later. You know, there's power in the media. Can I have an amen? On Friday, we got a testimony in Ibadan, isn't it? Prayed for people with pain on Friday night, and on Saturday took testimonies, and the first testimony was somebody not there. Was not there on Friday night, but was online on Friday night, but was there on Saturday and got healed as we prayed over those who had pain on Friday night. Hallelujah. So those watching online, God can reach you where you are. And God knows your house. He knows your car. He knows your Danfo. Abi, he knows your Uber. He knows your Keke. He knows your whatever it might be, wherever you might be in the world. Hallelujah. Not only so, you know, years ago I preached a message somewhere. I ministered, gave some words and all of that, and one of them describing somebody's condition. And I didn't get the time to actually go through people who I had to pray for there that night. But somebody picked up the tape months later, was listening to it, had one of the conditions I called, and got healed. So this was months later. In fact, I was discussing with Pastor BJ some time ago, and I was talking about that, and he said, oh, not only so, did I not tell you that I gave that message to somebody for his mom, I don't know how long after that was again, who also was listening and got healed. Hallelujah. So God's word is powerful. It's living and active. One says living and dynamic. Dynamic means he's walking. He keeps walking. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Excuse me. It's Sister Ronke and the gang that took my voice in Ibadan. So by the time I arrived on Sunday, my voice was going. By Monday, I couldn't talk. So I wanted to call her and say, give me back my voice. But no. So tonight, what we have done, you know, when I was growing up, welcome to Booster Service, which is a teaching service. When I was growing up, they'll serve you food. Abi? And when they serve you food, they put one piece of meat, usually in the afternoon. I don't know about your house. When our house, meat was for afternoon. You don't get meat in the morning with your morning, with breakfast, no meat with dinner food usually. Dinner food were things that didn't require meat, like beans and all of that, you know, so, and no meat goes with it. Abi, do you keep meat with beans? Huh? Maybe the word has changed, but you will get no meat for sure. You know, it's just your food. So usually the meat comes with your food in the afternoon, whether it's amala eba or rice, the meat is going to be on top of it. And of course, as children, you get the food, you go for the meat. You know, you attack that meat, and then they will tell you, no, don't finish your food first. Were you told to finish your food first? Okay, so I was told, finish your food first before the meat. And at some point they said, when I was grown enough to start asking questions, they said, because when you finish the meat, by the time you finish the food, you want another meat. You know, so they said, finish your food first. And then when they see that you are not, if you are one of those who are not very obedient to finish your food first before the meat, they will not give you the meat. They will serve you the food without the meat, then they will bring the meat when you are about done with the food so that you will finish your food first. Okay, so I said all that to say that tonight we ate the meat first before the food, you know, and that is that if you were attentive when we're praying, that was the meat. Because basically, Sister Marvel took us through everything I was going to say tonight. So we ate the meat. Now you eat your amala alone. Amen. Hallelujah. Meaning that there will be no, we won't have to pray about those things. We have prayed about them. And if you didn't, sorry, go home and pray your own now. Hallelujah. You will have no corporate unction to help you. Can I have an amen? Go to Romans chapter 3. Actually, when I wrote these points down that God told me, and I believe wanted me to share tonight, I didn't quite have an opening text. I had text for all my points. And what I'm talking about is why you should read your Bible daily. So very simple stuff. Very simple, but I'm finding out that too many Christians don't read their Bibles. I'm finding out, it's shocking me to my bones, that too many Christians actually don't read their Bibles. Okay? They will read a devotional, which will have one verse of the Bible. In fact, if the devotional had, you know, whatever, maybe it tells you to read verses 1 to 40 of whatever chapter, they will not read that one. It's the quoted singular verse on top of the writing of a thing that they would read. And it's shocking me to my bones. But a lot of believers, and when I say that, and why it's shocking me is I'm talking about a lot of, in quote, spiritual people, you know, or let's not say spiritual, a lot of zealous people, you know, they love the Lord, they are zealous for God, they are zealous for the things of God. You find them in church all of the time, you see them, you know, do everything, they are excited about God, but they do not read the Bible as they should. You know, and whereas when people get born again, we will tell them, you know, pray every day, read your Bible every day, go to a Bible-believing church. I still had to sing that to my daughter recently. I said, read your Bible, pray every day, pray every day, pray every day, read your Bible, pray every day if you want to grow. Have you? Yeah. So I then started asking myself, why, you know, why do people do these things? Why are they like that? Why are they... Why do we as believers take this for granted? And one major reason why people take anything for granted is that they don't know the value. Okay? They don't know the value of that thing. They really don't. They may say they do, but they do not know the value of that thing. There are many things, and maybe I shouldn't jump ahead of myself. But Romans chapter 3 and verses 1 and 2. So I got a text yesterday. I got the opening text yesterday. I had the points before. But I was listening to a friend yesterday, and I got the text, the opening text, because this was the text he referred to, and he said this was one of his favorite scriptures. I'd never seen it in that light, and when he said, I said, voila, and I've been meditating on it since then, and it fits my message, okay? Romans chapter 3, it says, verse 1, what advantage then as the Jew, or what is the profit of circumcision? He said, much in every way. Chiefly because, can I hear you say chiefly because? He said chiefly because to them were committed the oracles of God. Chiefly because to them were committed to the oracles of God. So what's he talking about? He's saying what gives the Jews an advantage? That's what he's saying. You know, so Paul, remember now people were born again. Gentiles were being born again. In fact, this letter to the Romans are Gentiles. They're like us. They're not Jews. They didn't have the covenant the Jews had with God. So they are just like us. Okay? So Paul was writing to the Gentiles. So you might assume he was writing to the Nigerian church or Ghanaian church or American church. You understand? Those who are not Jews. And say, the Jews have an advantage. Okay? They have an advantage. There's something special about the Jews. Then he said, what is their advantage? He said they have an advantage much in every way. He said, but mainly because to them were committed the oracles of God. So I don't know about you. I study people. I study people. I look at people. Why is this person so good at this? Why is this person so blessed? Why is this person so favored? Why is this person so... I'm trying to figure out what makes this person. So because if I can't figure it out, I can't be like them. I can't be as good as them in whatever they're good in. So I'm studying them. Why is this person like, oh, it's very meticulous. Oh, it's very studious. Oh, it's very, you understand? So he's saying, hey, guys, you Gentiles, listen to me. What gives the Jews an advantage? And he said, they have an advantage, much in every way. He said, but you know what? Shh, don't tell anybody. The main thing is that to them we're committed the oracles of God. One says to them were committed the teachings of God. Okay? One says they were committed, the NIV says they were committed the very words of God. The very words of God. Now, I picked my phone, which you know I don't usually do, but I saved something there that I wanted to read to you. I mean, sometime this week, there was some argument on my school WhatsApp group about the Jews. So again, it's lovely how God puts things together, you know. So you see how my message was coming together nicely in bits and pieces. So they were arguing about the Jews and the fact that the Jews seem to be special and all of that. And I think they were getting a lot of it from a book that I'd read, which I have in my library, called The Jewish Phenomenon. You know, and there's a summary of what that book says that I want to read to you. So this is the author. It says, according to Steven Seelbiger, who is the author of that book called The Jewish Phenomenon. Okay? According to Steven Seelbiger, author of The Jewish Phenomenon, Jewish Americans, can you hear me very well? It says, Jewish Americans make up only 2% of the total U.S. population. Yet 45% of the top 40 of the Forbes 400 richest Americans are Jewish. Only 2%, they are in that population. But 40% of the richest people in America are Jewish. Okay? 45% of the richest in America are Jewish. It says, fully one-third of American multimillionaires are Jewish. That's like 30-35%. It said 20% of professors at leading universities are Jewish. 40% of partners in America's leading law firms are Jewish. And perhaps most impressively, 25% of all Nobel Prize winners, you know about the Nobel Prize, 25% of all Nobel Prize winners, that is global, are Jewish. So say that tiny group of people in America, significant proportion are the richest, significant proportion are the leading professors in the universities, significant proportion are the leading lawyers in the place. He said then in the whole world of this prestigious Nobel Prize, 20% of them are Jewish. So it looks like something special is there. So Paul was writing. Paul had noticed that and said, look, what advantage then has the Jew? Much in every way. He said, but mainly, the secret in God's word, though. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He's saying mainly the real secret that they had, the real advantage they had from the get-go is that they were the first to get that God's word. It was to them that the oracles of God were committed. Meaning they patterned their lives as God wanted it patterned. Remember what we're talking about. Why should I read the Bible every day? I need to know why. I need to know what it does. Okay? The Jews have given me a sample of what that word does to people. Are you still there? Okay, so we're on to two things very quickly. Number one, why I should read the Bible then every day is to grow. Okay, can I hear you say to grow? 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Or 1 Peter rather. It's 1 Peter chapter 2, not 1. 1 Peter 2. Are you there? 1 Peter 2 and verse 1. It says, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, verse 2 is the emphasis, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. As newborn babes, do what? Desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Listen, all of us are born spiritual babies. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Every single one of us, we get born again. And being born again is like being born afresh into the world. So, the professor of Jewish scriptures, Nicodemus, came to Jesus by night in John chapter 3. And then he was saying, what must I do to be saved? And Jesus said, except a man be born again, John chapter 3 and verse 3, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So I usually like to tell people that the phrase born again was not invented by the Pentecostals. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Hey, I don't know what you Pentecostals are. Yeah, born again. We did not invent it. Abi? It's in the Bible. We're only quoting Bible. We didn't create born again. You know, born again, as if you are the only one. Jesus said, except
I mean, a man be born again. It's Jesus that says so, not Pentecostals. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then he likened it. And when he said that, he confused Nicodemus. Nicodemus looked at himself and said, how can I enter my mother's womb and be born again? I mean, sure, all women are glad that God starts great things small. I mean, if my mother had to give birth to me like this, that'd be voila. So he said, how can I enter again and be born? He said, no. You have to be born of a spirit and of a letter and of a spirit. Okay, so you have to be born. It's a spiritual transformation. But my real point is this, is that you start off as a baby. You never start off knowing everything and becoming everything. You start off as a baby. It's a journey. So he calls you a baby in 1 Peter chapter 2. He calls you a baby in John chapter 3. Can I have an amen? And then it means that there is a destination. So just like a baby grows, we're also growing, or we ought to be growing. Amen? And we're going somewhere because, again, you are expecting something. The baby is growing. The baby is walking. The baby has teeth. But you still want the baby to grow. Isn't it? Why? Because there is a destination. There's there's something you are still watching out for. There's still a level of growth you expect the baby to reach. So it is with you and I that even though we have done this, we have done that, we have become this, we are going somewhere. Hallelujah. I'm trying to make this fast. And where are we going? Paul said in Galatians chapter 4, maybe that's the one scripture I'll have you read on this one again. Okay, Galatians chapter 4. The others you'll have to keep writing down and all of that. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 19. So it means that just like you are not satisfied that your baby can walk, your baby can talk, your baby can run, your baby has teeth, you still expect your baby to keep growing. So also, spiritually, you ought to keep growing until you reach a certain level. What is that level? That's the big question. Because when it says desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby, then you ought to know, where am I going? Where am I growing to become? Hallelujah. And it says in Galatians chapter 4, verse 19, Paul was speaking, he says what? My little children. So again, speaking, you are growing. My little children, for whom I labor in birth again, until, what is until? Until when? Until Christ is formed in you. Until Christ is formed in you. That is until I look at you and it's like I'm seeing Christ. Until your mannerisms are like Christ's. Until your speaking sounds like I'm seeing Christ. Until your reactions are like Christ's reactions. They are just there, unpredictable. They are not actually reacting to what is there. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So they brought somebody and they said, we caught this woman in the adultery. He was writing. And then he says, he who was not seen, pick up the first stone and stone. You know, you're thinking, where in the world is that coming from? They said they led him like a lamb to the slaughter. You know, so he talks about not reviling again. Those are scriptures. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So until you are like that, where we can say, wow. How can you be like this? How can you behave like this? Didn't you hear that insult? Are you hearing what I'm saying? And you just act and you are reminding us of the Jesus of the Bible. Are you there? You're quiet though. I said, are you there? Are you too far from there? Huh? It's about knowing where you're going. There's a man by the name of Indira Gandhi. How many people ever heard of him? Indira Gandhi. Indira Gandhi is supposed to be the founder of India, modern day India. He was a lawyer, trained in the UK, went to South Africa after that, went to, and I teach like this because I realize that if I tell you many, many, many scriptures, people don't, they don't digest them. Are you following me? So we take one, in fact, sometimes you need to just sit with one scripture and then chew it like you were saying. Just chew it until it's a part of you. You know, if you can take meat and just swallow it, Abi? You can just take the meat, throw it to your mouth, and swallow. But we know that the process of digestion actually begins where? In the mouth. Engineer. Engineer knows. Oh, wow. I was actually thinking Temilulu would tell me, you know, but it's fine. It begins in the mouth. Are you with me? And what does that mean? That your mastication. Did you get 368 in jam? So that mastication, as you are chewing it and you are mixing it with saliva, it's beginning to break down that food. So if you, you know, maybe you are eating with somebody, with your friend, you want to be fast. And you are swallowing it, then you know, after a while, you do like, what's it? I'm indigestion. Indigestion, that's the problem. You didn't start well, and you didn't chew well. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Okay, so why did I say all that now? Where was I before? Huh? Yes, Indira Gandhi. Okay, so you are following. That's good. So Indira Gandhi went to church. He went to church, and church people treated him badly because there was racism. He was Indian and all of that. And, you know, they will tell you in some of those places, including South Africa, you'll see signs. No dogs, blacks, or Indians allowed. So classified with dogs. And they did that even in church. So they threw him out of church. Okay? Somebody was actually telling me that that's what happened to his father in the U.S. His father was very zealous, went to church and all that. And then when he went to church, you know, somebody, you know, if I say his name, he said, went to church. And they told his father after service, they said, see, down there is the church for black people like you. Don't come here again. And the father never went to church again for many years. Okay? So anyway, Indira Gandhi, so they treated him that way. And Indira Gandhi swore that he's not going to church anymore. So when he is the father of modern day India, he died a Hindu. He actually read the Bible, tried going to church, and his statement, what he said was this. He said, I like the God of the Christians, but I don't like the Christians. He said, if the Christians were like their Christs of the Bible, I would be a Christian. Did you get that? If the Christians were like the Christ of their Bible, I would be a Christian. So, Paul says, my little children, Abby, of whom I labor again in birth until Christ be formed in you. That's the destination. Are you there? Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 down to 13 was talking about the fact that when he ascended on high, he gave gifts unto men, apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, and pastors. Why? For the maturing of the saints. He says, until we come to the place of the measure, verse 13, of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Hallelujah. So why do I read it? So that I will grow. When people grow, what happens? They eat. Abi? You eat to grow. So back in the days in the hospital in Adeoyo in Ibadan, as a mother, the child looked, you know, malnourished somewhat. I said, Mama, does this child eat? She said, I eat. You know, best in Yoruba, maybe you help us translate. Says unfoko muko njeko. Unfoko muko njeko. That means he what? What is foko? Breaks, abi? Echo. You know echo? He breaks echo. So we say, does he eat? He breaks echo for one meal. He drinks echo, another meal, and he eats echo. But it's all echo. Abi? So, bad food, if you don't feed properly, results in bad growth. Are you following what I'm saying? So, Jesus compared what? He talks about in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, he talks about the fact that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So he compares the word of God to bread. Okay? Food. Abibeko, we've seen in 1 Peter chapter 2, it's compared to what? Milk. We go to Hebrews chapter 5. It talks about those who ought to have become teachers. So they ought to have grown, still need to be taught again. What are the first principles of the word of God? He said because they have come to need what? Milk instead of solid food. And they are not eating what? Meat. Are you there? I say, are you there? So you have to eat. Eat proper food. Eat appropriate food for your age. Are you with me? You are 10 years old in the Lord. Our daily manna can't be sufficient. It's like Cerelac. How many people here drink Cerelac? How many people drink Cerelac? If you're online, do you drink Cerelac? The Lord sees you. Your hand went up. So why not? It's not appropriate. It's not adequate. You can take it, isn't it? But you have to take other things. It can't work for you. In fact, when the baby does what is recommended, exclusive breastfeeding, we say after 6 months, add something. Are you following what I'm saying? Why? Because if you don't, it won't grow as it should. Hallelujah. So there are stages where you get to, and you have to start hardening and hardening and hardening. Very quickly, time is running, okay? Now, let's look at one scripture. Let's see one scripture at least. No, let's see two scriptures. Is that okay? 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. No, what did I say? 2 Peter chapter 1. Not chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 1. Excuse me. Are you there? 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. It says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. By which, this is where I'm going, have been given to us what? Exceedingly great and precious promises, so that through these you may become what? Partakers of the divine nature. So something happens when I take in God's word, I start partaking of the what? Divine nature. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, very quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Remember what we're talking about? Very simple message. Why I should read the Bible every day. Okay? So I pray. But why I read the Bible every day? How many people eat every day? Seriously? No, I'm not joking. You eat every day. Yeah, so as you eat every day, spiritual food too is necessary every day. Amen? I don't remember what, I think it might be Kenneth Hagin, who said he had an encounter with God and God was showing him how people's spirits looked emaciated. And he said, you cannot feed your physical body 3 square meals a day and then you take 1 cold snack for your spirit a week. Then you wonder why you are spiritually weak. Are you with me? Why am I spiritually weak? What have you been eating spiritually? Hallelujah. So 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18, it says, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of God. I wanted to see the Amplified on that one, Amplified Classic. It says, and all of us, as with unveiled face, because we continued to behold in the word of God. Can I hear you say continued to behold? In the word of God. As in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, we are constantly being transfigured into his very own image. As we continue to do so, So every day that you are sitting there looking at that word, meditating on it, there's a transfiguration. Do you remember the transfiguration? Mount of Transfiguration. Abi? They said Jesus transfigured and was glistening. He was white, blah, blah, blah. So there's a transfiguration that's happening to you every time you sit with your Bible and you are reading and meditating on it. Something is changing. It might not be obvious to you, but it will be obvious to people over time. They will say, what happened to you? Hallelujah. Number two, why you should read the Bible every day, is to know and follow God's instructions. Okay? To know and follow God's instructions. Psalm 119 verse 9, the psalmist was writing, he says, how can a young man cleanse his ways? Is by taking heed according to your word. Verse 11 says, your word I have hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. What does that mean? I cannot follow God's instructions if I don't know what they are. Okay, you can't follow my instruction if I have not given any or you have not taken the time to find out what my instructions are. So if your intention is I want to please God, I want to make sure that I live my life in line with God's will and all of that, then you have to find out what his intentions are, what his will is, what his instructions are. As a matter of fact, I'm running fast on this now. Colossians 1:13 tells us that we have been transferred, moved. One says delivered from the kingdom of darkness and put into the kingdom of his dear son. So we're in a new kingdom. Okay? When you're in a new kingdom, you need to find out how things work in the new kingdom. Isn't that clear? If you don't, you can run foul of the law. I've been to many places. I was in Vienna not too long ago, and there was nothing. Bus, everything was there. Fantastic transport, public transport system. But I didn't see, there was nothing, nobody to buy a ticket from at the tram, which runs on the street like that, like a bus. There was nothing at the train station. People were just walking inside train station and entering train. They just stand by the road, the tram will come, stop, they just enter and they go. There was nobody checking anything. You say, okay, oh. What if they catch you? Are you getting what I'm saying? So I had to ask them, sorry, how do you get tickets? So he said, no, it's online. You download the app if you want. You do this. Or on that tram, there'll be a little ticket thing in the corner. You can buy a ticket from it. Are you here? So even after I downloaded the app, I bought ticket on my phone. I watched for 1 week. Nobody checked anything. And there was nothing to touch or swipe or show when you are entering train or entering anywhere. You just walk inside. But I had the ticket. So that you won't come and disgrace. So there's somebody that said, you must be extremely honest around here. Because in 1 week, I've not seen them check anybody. And there's nothing that gets you when you are going in or checks you when you are coming out. You understand? And it must be profitable. It means that the people are buying the ticket. Otherwise, they will know that this thing is not making any money. Are you following what I'm saying? But the fact that I didn't see anything doesn't mean that I have the right to just be going and be walking out and say, maybe they didn't put anything there. If they didn't put anything there, it means that it's free now, my friend. You better find out. That's what Ephesians 5 talks about. He said we should walk circumspectly, not as fools, doing what? Finding out. Ephesians 5 verse 8. Finding out. Can I hear you say finding out? Finding out what the will of God is. You have a responsibility to find out what the will of God is. What has God got to say about this? What has he got to say about that? You need to find out. Hallelujah. Because you're in a new kingdom. Another perspective to look at it from is that the Bible says, if anybody be in Christ, a new creature, all things are passed away. Behold, all things. All means what? All. Two, all means what? all, free. All means what? All. All things have become new. So if I'm a completely new person, I have to find out who am I. Abi? If I've wiped out, in America, they have a system, which they call a witness protection system. So if they are going to catch a big criminal, you know, around, and they need you to testify against the guy, they knew that guy, if he gets you, and your head will be removed. Then you are, everybody's afraid. I can't speak. They all know what the guy did. They know they saw him kill somebody. But nobody wants to talk. Because he will remove your head. Then they will tell you, they say, don't worry. We'll put you in the witness protection program. And that means what? We'll change your name. We'll change everything. We'll move you to another town. We will wipe out your existence and create a brand new existence for you. Completely brand new existence. You'll become... I'll be Mr. Jide Ojo or Jide Olori Eja or whatever, you understand? And they will have all kinds of background for me. That Jide Olori Eja went to Igbeleni Primary School, he went to blah, blah, blah. If you track me out, you will see that this is where I grew up. That has nothing to do with the real me. So the Bible says you have become new. All things, all are new. And when they do that, they will tell you, learn these things. Memorize it. Which school did you attend? Which kine did you go to? Where's your family? What happened to your child? What happened to your dog? What happened to your... You must memorize it, because if somebody just meets you one day and ask you a question and you start stammering and you say the wrong thing, that may be the reason that man, they will discover you and remove your head. Are you following me? So the same way, you are a new person, you must discover who you are now. Hallelujah. Number three, you need to know what is yours. Abi? Acts 20 and verse 32. Who can quote it? I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up, which is grow, Abi, and give you what? An inheritance among those who are sanctified. So he'll give you an inheritance. You need to know what is yours. That word of God will deliver to you what is yours. You know, and that's the basis of prayer. Whatever you are asking God for, you need to know what is yours. You need to know what he has promised. You need to know what he has said. I mean, 1 Peter 2, or is it 2 Peter 2, we're reading earlier, talks about the exceeding great and precious promises. You need to know what those promises are. Okay? And when we pray, we go to God with those promises. You said. Isaiah 43. Very quickly, Isaiah 43. So you need to know what is yours so that you can claim it. Abi? Isaiah 43. So if your prayer is not, the less you know, the less effective your prayer will be. Because much of what you are asking God to do is what he has already done. So there are times you go to him to thank him for what has already been done. Okay? There are times you go to him to remind him, this is what you said. Therefore, this one is not permitted to be happening in my life. Because this is what you said. And it's different from what I'm saying. Are you getting what I'm saying? So Isaiah 43 verse 26 says, what puts me in remembrance, let us contend together, state your case, that you may be acquitted. That sounds like legal language. Abibeko, that's legal language. State your case. And when you're going to state your case, what do? They study cases. Abibeko. At TSN, why do you study cases? Maybe they have happened. So that you will go and go and say, in the case of Doyin versus Olualambe Lodge, of 1926, it was ruled that according to, and when you state all the case like that, what you have done is that you have tied the hand of the judge. The judgment, if you can state it clearly, the judgment should be clearer. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So we need to know what is ours. We need to be able to go to God with it and state our case. Hallelujah. And lastly, to succeed. Everybody wants success, I think. Abi? Everybody wants success. Success, we won't go into defining success. Maybe another day we can do defining success itself. Okay? Because success is not... Success is having enough for sure. And having enough to give out. Okay? But success is not, I want to be a billionaire. Okay? Success includes having enough and enough to give out to every good cause. But you may not be a billionaire. Are you with me? But you have enough for your own needs and you have enough to give to everything that you want to give to. Are you with me? Okay? And that's not all of it. It's not just the financial or material possession. There are many other things. Okay? So, and that's why Joshua 1:8, and we will not read it because we have prayed with it also earlier, isn't it? Says what? This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein, so that you may observe to do. Observe, so that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein, and thereby make your way prosperous and have what? Good success. By saying good success, it implies that it's bad success. Good success is what? The Lord's blessing makes rich and has no sorrow to it. It means that you are just good like that. Things are fine. It's all working. You have the money and you are not on drugs. Can I have an amen? You have the money and you have peace of mind. Can I have another amen? Amen. I always ask people, do you know why Michael Jackson died? You know why he died? Because he wanted to sleep. That's all. He just wanted to sleep. He couldn't sleep. Very popular guy, a lot of money. He couldn't sleep. His problem was sleep. He looked for sleep. He couldn't find sleep. So he hired a doctor to be putting him to sleep. So the doctor's job is to give him anesthesia. Like as if he's going for surgery. He will inject him with anesthesia so that he will fall asleep. Otherwise, he couldn't sleep. So he died because the guy injected powerful anesthesia that was too powerful and killed him. Because they couldn't monitor. Because if you use that kind of anesthesia, you should be using it in a surgical theater, not at home. And they should be monitoring your body systems, you know, per second. And the guy knocked him that in, and he died. So good success is, you have the money, but you are sleeping like a baby. Hallelujah. You are not worried about the money disappearing. You are not worried about becoming poor again. You are not worried about somebody stealing my money. Abi? You are not worried about your jet that needs repair, your blah, blah. You are just fine. You are not worried about the company building, 20-story that just burnt down yesterday. You are just fine. Hallelujah. So, Matthew 19, rich young ruler came to Jesus. What do I do to be saved? He says, you will, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. All the thou shalt nots that are written in the scriptures. The man said, I've obeyed them from my youth. That's why you're a rich young ruler. You understand? He's a rich young ruler because he has been obeying God's word from his youth. That's how come he was successful in the first place. So the children that are sitting and hearing God's word, That's why I'm very interested in the children. Because if they pay attention and they live by God's word, their success will, it will dwarf your own completely. Who they will be, you'll be shocked. You see, he's still bragging about mastication and all that. What those children will know, and they will so beat their daddy, you understand, in the brilliance, in the kingdom, you'll be wondering, wow, which kind of brain did you people have? But it's God's word. He says, I know more than my teachers. Because your word is my meditation.
Hallelujah.
John 8:12 says that he that is in me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So that success includes just knowing how to handle life. Just knowing how to handle life. Life has challenges, complications. There's nobody in the world that can teach you everything you will face on your job. Has anybody discovered that before? Nobody. Send you to training school for 1 year. That's after you have gone to university. Then you go to training school 1 year. When you get to work, just one or guy that is looking funny and says, I will deal with you. They didn't teach you in training school. You understand what I'm talking about? But you have to handle it. Some situations will even come up technically that you wonder, they didn't teach us this one in training school. You will need the mind of Christ. And when you solve the problem, the people will be shocked. How did you know this one? How did you know to do this? How come you did it this way? Who taught you? Are you with me? And the only reason is because you have been with Christ. They looked at the apostles, so we can end there. They looked at the apostles. I skipped a lot of scriptures and things because of time. They looked at the apostles and they said to them, they realized that they were unlearned and untrained men. Unlearned, illiterate, simply put. All that unlearned is nice grammar. They were illiterate, stark illiterate, as we'll call it. He said, but when they were speaking, they were amazed at how they spoke. And then they took note. They've been with Christ. They were with that Jesus. Hallelujah. So what have we talked about? Why you should read your Bible, Abby? Every day. Every day. In Job 23 verse 12, Job said, I have esteemed your word more than my necessary food. He called the food necessary. He said, but I esteem your word more than that food. I think your word is more important than that food. So somebody told me years ago, he said, so I don't eat until I've studied the Bible. That is my policy. I don't eat. No food is allowed until I have spent some time reading my Bible. Hallelujah. So number one is what? Why should you? To grow into the measure of the stature of Christ. Number two? To know and follow God's instructions. Knowing that you are in a new kingdom, knowing that you are a new person. Can I have an amen? Colossians 3 says, your life is hid with Christ. Abby? In God. So your real identity, you have to find it out now. Number three. You need to know what is yours so you can claim it. And number four. To succeed. Remember someone? Blessed is the man that does what? Sits not of the ungodly. No. Holy Joe is there now. He walks. He stands. Progression. Then he sits. He walks. He's still walking. He's still walking. Walking. He's still going his way. He's still going his way. He's still going his Christian way. He's walking. He's walking. He's walking. But he's listening to what they are saying. The counsel of the ungodly. Then he does what? He stands. The thing's sweeting him now. He stands in the what? In the path of sinner. So he's sweating him, then he stops. He stands there now. Sorry, what did you say that time? We're not talking to you. I heard what he's listening, Abby. And then next thing, he pulls a chair. And then he sits in the scornful. By that level, even he is laughing at the Bible like them. That's scorning something. That's what scorning means. So he said, how does Christian? I say miracle. He said, it's true, sir. I have seen a miracle before in our church. I don't even know why they even talk about miracle. You know, they talk miracle. He's now scorning it. He said, but if he doesn't do that, but his delight is what? Is in the law of the Lord is God. And in that law, he meditates when? Day and night. He shall then become like what? A tree planted by the rivers of water and shall not see when the heat comes, but he shall be blessed in everything that he does. Let's stand on our feet. We give God thanks tonight. Give him praise tonight. Appreciate him for his word. Like I said, we've done a lot of praying about this. So these 30-minute prayers we do, it was already spirit-led. And we prayed about this. We prayed about our transformation, being more like Christ. We prayed about that already. So thank him that his word has impact on your life, that his word is changing you, changing you, changing you, changing you. Give him praise tonight.